Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Drops the throw. Steps up. Floats a bomb up the right seam. Looking for Anderson. He's got it. They're not going to catch him. He's going to go the distance. Touchdown. Sam Darnold dials it up to Robbie Anderson. 92 yards.
Anderson, 10 yards deflected. And picked up Mosey. He'll take it in. It's a pick six and a touchdown.
Bell. Into the middle of that line, and it's a touchdown.
Big return for Crowder, 85 yards.
Pass thrown, there was contact with the quarterback, and it's incomplete. They got pressure on Prescott. It was Adams who came blitzing in.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know who that's?
The Q-inator.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the TOJ Digital Studios, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And this is the Jets Steelers postgame report. So for that, of course, we bring in the great beat reporter from NJ.com and New Jersey Advance Media, Mr. Matt Stepakoski. Matt, the Jets win their sixth game of the season. This was an ugly one from start to finish. If you had no vested interest in this in terms of being a Steeler fan or a Jet fan, I can't imagine why you would have been watching this one because, Matt, I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. This was not exactly the most exciting football game I've ever watched. The Jets won this one, but they didn't really look good in doing it, most especially Sam Darnold. It's funny, I was mentioning this to you before we started recording. This felt like a Josh Allen performance to me because the team didn't score a lot of points, but they scored just enough to get the win. No interceptions, although there were plenty of interceptable type of passes and bad decisions. Couple of splash plays, particularly that great throw in between two defenders for a touchdown to Robbie Anderson. Robbie made a really nice catch on that one as well. Box score actually looked pretty good for Sam Darnold, 95 quarterback rating. But if you watch this game, you know that he really wasn't all that good. As I said, pretty much your prototypical Josh Allen game. That's what we saw from Sam Darnold today. And that's the most discouraging thing here, Matt, because if the Jets were going to win this game, which was going to hurt their draft order, and as of right now, they are picking 11th, so we'll see how that shakes out after next week. But this likely knocked them out of contention for the top tackles and a couple of the top wide receivers. If that was going to happen, you wanted it to happen because Sam Darnold had a really nice game. He really didn't play that well, and the Jets won an ugly game, so it's kind of a bad combination.
Yeah, true. I mean, it is. We do, I think, kind of risk getting into this cycle a little bit, though, of riding and dying a little too hard with Darnold every week. And at this point, you know, he's the sole focus. So every time he takes the field, it's like the whole fan base is waiting with bated breath to see what he's going to do. And if he has a really good week, he's going to be unbelievable. And if he has a not as good week here, everyone just kind of, has their head in their hands and is a little bit more discouraged. Not to say that they're, giving up on him by any means, but it's just funny to see, when the team's fortunes go out the window, everyone stops like caring too much about if they win or lose. And now it's just strictly, all of those emotions are focused pretty heavily on Sam Darnold. So, not worth panicking by any stretch of the imagination, but certainly wasn't his best performance. And, I think it's safe to say here with one game left that he hasn't made the giant year two leap that a lot of people were probably hoping for. It's been more of kind of a bunny hop forward for Sam Darnold. And, Sunday's performance wasn't one of his best for sure. It's not one of the ones that's going to make the highlight tape. It was uneven. He made some bad decisions that he kind of got away with. some sloppy throws, some loose throws, some inaccurate throws. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was a winning effort. And let's be honest, I mean, it's like a pitcher in baseball, right? You got to be able to get wins when you don't have your best stuff. And, you know, you got to give Darnold at least a little bit of credit today that he managed to kind of gut out a win despite the fact that he wasn't at his sharpest.
I think Darnold overall has produced more good than bad this season, Matt. Perhaps we all expected a little too much because we saw what happened with Carson Wentz going to the Super Bowl in his second year. We saw Jared Goff get to the Super Bowl in his third year. So everybody was hoping that he would take that giant leap. But what we forgot to account for is the fact that the Rams and the Eagles had much better rosters around those quarterbacks. So Sam Darnold was more or less asked to carry this offense for the bulk of the season, especially since Le'Veon Bell was having trouble being able to run behind that offensive line, a trend that continued today. Another rough one for Le'Veon Bell. Again, not his fault. The offensive line didn't give him much to work with, but this has been the worst season of Le'Veon Bell's career statistically, and obviously a huge disappointment all around. Like I said, not entirely his fault, but this one seems destined for a divorce. We've been talking about this for a while, that it looks like the Jets are probably going to move on for Le'Veon Bell, or at least attempt to do that in the offseason. I think it's a shame, because if they upgrade the offensive line, I think that Le'Veon Bell could be a real weapon for them. But once again, this offensive line did him no favors. He averaged under 3 yards a carry. This is not the performance that the Jets thought they were going to be getting from Le'Veon Bell on a weekly basis. One more time, just so there's no confusion, I do not believe that it's his fault for the most part, but this is another reason why Sam Darnold has had trouble making that giant leap. In addition to what we know about the offensive line, everybody expected Le'Veon Bell to take a lot of the pressure off of him, and he hasn't been able to do that.
Yeah, and before I touch on Bell, I guess I'll just kind of have this last note on Darnold. You know, you mentioned Wentz and Goff, and those guys taking those big second-year leap forward with, you know, more talented rosters. But we also, I mean, and we're all guilty of this. We all talk about these things, write about these things, whatever, as if they're, you know, linear career arcs that, you know, can either go up or down. And in reality, it's a lot more ebbs and flows. I mean, look at Goff and Wentz this year. I don't think anyone is raving about them making, you know, another big leap forward. You know, guys are going to have good years, they're going to have bad years, they're going to have ebbs and flows within the season too. So, you know, maybe Sam Darnold doesn't have the big year two breakout, but maybe he avoids the year three recession that some of these other guys have had, the year four dip. So, you know, everyone kind of takes their own path in that regard, I guess. But, you know, getting back to Le'Veon Bell, yeah, clearly this hasn't worked out. It's not going nearly as well as the Jets would have hoped. I know you said he averaged less than 3 yards per carry today. I will say he didn't help himself with that one that he reversed course, mm-hmm. and I think he lost 11 yards on that mm-hmm. one. So he kind of killed his own average on that one. It actually probably should have been a little bit better, and under 3 yards a carry might actually be a little bit of a disservice to how the offensive line blocked for him. Not to say it was good or great by any stretch of the imagination, but it was probably at least a little bit better than 2.9 yards per carry. So, you know, that one's on Le'Veon Bell, but for the most part, you know, throughout the season, you're certainly right. I mean, I would say it's more on the offensive line, his statistics, than, you know, his actual performance. He has been severely limited throughout the year just based on what's been around him. And yeah, same thing. I will be surprised if the Jets don't try to move him at this point, just because, you know, it certainly looks like this team is still, you know, a year, 2 years away from really kind of getting the pieces in place that they need to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And, you know, if you have Le'Veon Bell, you're paying him to be the guy right here and now. So it's not really a fit timeline wise between these two parties right now. So like you said, kind of a shame, because who knows, maybe Bell could be good behind a good offensive line next year if the Jets manage to figure it out. But Joe Douglas has a lot of work to do up front. He's got to replace at least three pieces up there, if not all five. So he's going to have his work cut out for him rebuilding the offensive line. And, you know, that's another reason why the draft pick slipping a little bit hurts, because, you know, it just reduces Douglas's flexibility, his ability to grab a top tackle or, you know, move down in the draft, trade down and pick up some extra picks, whatever he wanted to do. So, yeah, you know, it's a bittersweet day, I guess, for the Jets is really the theme.
Joe Douglas certainly is going to have his work cut out for him when it comes to fixing that offensive line. One of those guys that he's going to have to replace is Brandon Schell, who is once again terrible today. He more or less did an Olay job where he let T.J. Watt have a direct path to the quarterback. I believe I tweeted out that a T.J. Watt-Brandon Schell matchup should be ruled illegal by the NFL. It shouldn't even be allowed because it's such a huge mismatch. That is what led to the Darnold fumble in this game. And going back to Le'Veon Bell as well, Matt, I have to say Michael Nania brought up a great point in a text message to me. And I understand that in the heat of the moment, sometimes you wouldn't think about this. But on a play like that, I'm not sure why Le'Veon Bell didn't think to just throw the ball out of bounds.
Yeah, we actually said that same thing in the press box, too. We were kind of half joking that he should have chucked it out of bounds. And if I remember right, looking at the replay, when he kind of reversed course, he had guys right around him. So I don't know if he had the time and space to comfortably kind of untuck it and feel like he could get it away. But it certainly wouldn't have been a bad idea. It was, or at the very least, it would have been a better idea than we're trying to cut all the way back across the field and losing 11 yards. So really what Bell should have done at that point was just kind of cut his losses instead of turning around and going all the way back across the field. Just cut upfield, get what you can, just limit the damage. But trying to cut back across the field all the way against the green with no blocking help was a bold move and not one that was very successful for sure.
Let's talk about the rest of the offense. I mentioned that catch that Robbie Anderson made in the end zone. With each passing week, it sure seems like Robbie Anderson is getting ready to make himself some money here in the offseason. He only had two catches for 32 yards, but that one catch in the end zone, a contested catch in between two defenders where he really stretched out for it and made an excellent catch, was a highlight reel type of grab. I'm curious to see what happens going forward, but I do think that Sam Darnold and Robbie Anderson have really rekindled that spark that they had together down the stretch of the season last year. Robbie Anderson just keeps making more plays like this. And as far as I'm concerned, the Jets should be gearing up to try and keep him. We'll see what happens. But even though it was only two catches, an impressive day for Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, so I think the question with Robbie at this point is, are him and Darnold always going to kind of be streaky together? And is this just an extension of last year where they had a bunch of weeks where they weren't that good and then they were good at the end of the season together? And, you know, they're kind of just following that same formula where it's a handful of weeks of not so good and then followed by a bunch of weeks of really good. Or are both seasons kind of following the same pattern because they were getting used to each other last year within a system. And then once they figured it out, they were good down the stretch. And then the same thing this year where, you know, Darnold was obviously in and out early on, so it took them a little while to get their feet wet and get settled into Gase's system. And now that they are and they're both on the same page, the results are coming. Is that the thought? And, you know, if that's the thought for Joe Douglas, then you have to be salivating at the thought of keeping him because, you know, they won't have to reset week one next year. But if you're more convinced that it's just some streakiness, then you got to be a little bit concerned about what you're really paying Robbie Anderson for and how much you should pay him and whether or not it's worth keeping him. So that's going to be the big evaluation question, I think, for Joe Douglas is just kind of what has been behind this resurgence for Robbie Anderson, why they were quiet early in the year together. You know, what is kind of the disconnect between the Robbie Anderson we saw earlier this season and the Robbie Anderson we're seeing now? And also, you know, whether or not the Jets can just trust this kind of consistent level of production moving forward. So obviously, if Robbie Anderson is doing stuff like he has the last five or so weeks on a weekly basis, the Jets will be very happy to have him. Any team would be happy to have him, and he would be a super valuable player for them. But if he's the kind of guy that it's just going to be a roller coaster ride all the time, then you got to start getting into, you know, whether or not it's worth it. So it's going to be an interesting question for Joe Douglas. I know the wide receiver market isn't all that great, so that'll obviously kind of play into things as well as he makes the decision. So it's going to be fascinating to watch over the next few months here as he kind of gears up to make this choice.
Matt, let's talk about a disturbing trend. The Jets get off to a hot start and then completely fizzle out on offense. How many times have we seen this movie this season, Matt?
Yeah, a lot. Though I'm not even sure if today it was more of a lukewarm start, I suppose, than a hot start. The first drive was good. And then, you know, 3 points after that, the rest of the half. So not exactly a boiling hot start that we've seen in some other weeks, but yeah, certainly the fact that things fizzle out and don't really seem to get rekindled after halftime is certainly a persistent concern. Doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of adjusting or, at the very least, if they are adjusting. It's not the correct adjustments, I suppose, because the points aren't coming, the drives aren't coming. So I do think today might have been a little bit of a, not a special circumstance, but I do think that Adam Gase anticipated this was going to be a rock fight kind of game, an ugly game, one where his defense was going to be kind of leading the charge here, and he expected it to be low scoring. So he was a little bit more willing to be conservative in his play calling this week than maybe some others, or at least, the approach maybe made some more sense this week than others, because certainly he's been plenty conservative throughout the season, or, for the most part, he's been a pretty conservative play caller. So maybe that approach just made more sense this week. But the fact that things kind of always seem to peter out as the day goes on, it's certainly a concern for the Jets.
One thing that was concerning along those lines, though, Matt, to me, and this is a point that was brought up by Bart Scott on SNY after the game, the Steelers didn't use a lot of their trademark formations. They weren't as aggressive as you'd normally see them be, and yet Adam Gase just had no way to account for this. He didn't seem to know what to do when he was faced with something different than what he was expecting. And this is another issue that we've seen time after time after time. When things are going on script, everything's fine. But as soon as things go off script, Adam Gase seems to not know what to do.
Yeah. I mean, and like you said, I mean, this is not a new thing. It's been kind of an every week problem for the Jets. They've been, I think the biggest thing, and we've talked about this, after the Ravens game last week. I mean, kind of an indictment every time in the third quarter this year, they've been really bad. And what do you do in the third quarter? You build off the adjustments you made at halftime. So they've scored, I think, three third quarter touchdowns this year, and they've scored in the third quarter five times going into this week. So the third quarters have not been good. Obviously, that points to the fact that the Jets aren't kind of making the right tweaks behind the scenes. And this week, the fact that once again, when the script kind of went out the window, things weren't going well, it just points back to that same theme over again.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Let's talk a little bit about the defense now. Matt, I was texting Michael Nania about how Blessing Austin so far had looked like the best cornerback the Jets have had since Darrell Revis left. Now, to be fair, that's a pretty low bar, because the Jets really haven't had much at cornerback since Darrell Revis left the first time. But then, of course, right after I texted him that, Bless Austin started getting beat up, to the point where at the end of the half, he got torched for a touchdown, and I mean at the very end of the half, and then he was benched in the second half. So what happened here?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess he just got exposed a little bit there, and I got to dig into the numbers. I haven't looked at them in a little while, but I do remember a couple weeks back seeing a statistic where Bless Austin actually hadn't been getting targeted a whole lot by opposing quarterbacks, which was a little bit surprising when I saw it at the time, because you would obviously think that opposing quarterbacks, they see a rookie that's only played a handful of games and is coming off of a major knee injury, and you'd be salivating and trying to throw the ball over there. But for the most part, opposing quarterbacks hadn't gone his way a whole ton, and maybe that's partially a testament to him, doing a nice job in coverage and dissuading them from throwing in his direction. But it certainly seems like the Steelers at some point kind of decided, hey, let's give this a shot. Let's throw his way. And he got exposed a little bit, but that one right before halftime was pretty excusable. I mean, given how much time's left on the clock and the situation there, he has to know that the only two options are they're going to take a shot at the end zone, or they're going to take a shot toward the boundary. And the most likely scenario at that point, because they were kind of already on the edge of the field goal range, was that they were going to go for, you know, go for broke, go for the end zone. So to let a guy get behind you there is pretty brutal and, you know, a pretty ugly mistake from Bless Austin. But, you know, he's a rookie. He's played, what, six games, I guess, at this point, maybe seven. His first game was in week 10. So, you know, there's going to be some bumps along the way. And, you know, I guess it's a positive that he made it this far without having any major bumps, but, you know, certainly a big roadblock for him to overcome after this one.
Rough game for Bless Austin, but another member of the secondary who had been struggling had a really nice game today. A couple of big splash plays from Marcus May. He had that diving interception in the end zone to save what could have been a touchdown. And then later on, he had the play that ended the game where he was able to knock the ball away. Pretty impressive stuff here from Marcus May, who had come under fire lately for having a rough stretch. But these were the type of splash plays that you were hoping to see from him all season. I know a lot of people have joked about the fact that he may lead the league in dropped interceptions, but today he came up with the grab.
Yeah, he absolutely did. And it was a really, really nice grab too. I mean, good job by him, good body control to get those feet down in bounds and, you know, stick with the ball all the way to the ground, make sure that he completed the catch. So good job by Marcus May there. Really nice play. And that pass break up in the end zone too was just so huge. I mean, Jordan Jenkins admitted after the game that he saw that ball go up in the air and he turned around and went, oh, and I won't repeat the expletive, but it, you know, he was nervous when that ball was in the air and Marcus May comes over and bats it down. So a really nice play by him, a really good week for him. And if you're the Jets, you got to hope that he can build on this. I know, you know, obviously he only has one more chance this season, but hopefully he can carry some of this momentum into the off season because it's been an up and down year for him for sure. It has not been his best play from start to finish. So, you know, and also in fairness to him, I mean, he gets overshadowed a little bit. Jamal Adams makes so many amazing plays, so many great plays that sometimes he does look a little bit more pedestrian just by comparison being back there. But, you know, I think even he would probably have to admit that it's not been his best season. So, to have a big game like this late in the year, come up clutch and kind of secure the win for the Jets has to feel really good if you're Marcus May.
All that said, the front seven seemed to struggle quite a bit in this game, especially the defensive line. They weren't shutting down the run the way that you would think they would, especially against a Steelers running game that is really not all that good and that lost John Connor early in the game. And I'll tell you something, Matt, when I was watching this game, it felt like once Mason Rudolph came in, the Steelers hit on something a little bit. I still wonder if they might have been able to overcome the Jets if Rudolph hadn't gotten hurt and they had to go back to Hodges. This is not the best performance we've seen from Greg Williams' defense today. I know that they only gave up 10 points, but to be fair, we knew how bad the Steelers' offense was coming in, so we knew they were going to have trouble scoring points. There were opportunities here. They were bailed out, as we said, by Marcus May. One time they were also bailed out by Terrell Basham. So even though they only gave up 10 points, and again, as we talked about with Sam Darnold, this is the importance of watching and not just looking at the box scores. I didn't think this was a very impressive performance in a lot of ways for Greg Williams' defense today.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give them at least some credit. Like you said, I mean, they only gave up 10 points and they managed to force a couple turnovers. So that much was good. But yeah, I mean, the Steelers certainly had some more success once Hodges came out of the game and Mason Rudolph went in there. So probably fortunate for them that he got banged up and had to come back out. But yeah, I mean, this is not a very good Steelers offense. But, you know, I guess I'll give the Jets defense some credit. I mean, they bend, but they didn't break. They've kind of been playing that style a lot all season long. I mean, really, but for a 2-minute stretch late in the first half, they didn't give up anything. So even if there were some ugly points and, you know, they could have cleaned some stuff up and, you know, they may not have looked as sharp at points this week as they have in other weeks, they still were getting the job done at the end of the day, which is obviously the most important thing. So I won't kill them too much, but, you know, certainly they could have done a little bit better, you know, against the run. Like you said, they were getting gashed at some points and, we already mentioned Bless Austin and, you know, some secondary troubles at points. So was it the prettiest performance? No, but in a rock fight, the fact that they managed to limit all of the Steelers production to a 2-minute span or so. And, you know, the one touchdown came after a Sam Darnold fumble that set up a short field too. So, you know, the defense for all of its flaws, they did hide a decent chunk of them, at least on the scoreboard Sunday. So there is that if you're Greg Williams. I mean, maybe not the prettiest performance, and yes, not against a very good offense, but it, you know, at least they did get the job done.
Nice to see some splash plays from Quinnen Williams, too. I know a lot of people have been complaining, but he had a quarterback hit. He had a sack. There was a play where he beat a double team and almost got to Hodges and took his head off. So once again, we saw those flashes, and this time, in addition to the flashes, we saw the box score production.
Yep, absolutely. And I mean, if you're the Jets, you got to just hope you see more and more of that as he kind of grows and progresses here. You know, I know that he's been asked to kind of do a lot of unselfish things this season. So got to feel nice if you're him to kind of get some of those individual statistics. And if you are in the Jets building, if you're a Jets fan, you just want to see more of that as he progresses into next year, because you know, at some point, for all of the disruption and stuff that kind of goes on behind the scenes, for a guy that's a number three overall pick, you want to see kind of the concrete evidence of it. So good to see some on Sunday, but you know, got to keep that rolling for Quinnen Williams for sure.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Matt, let's go inside the locker room. What did Coach Gase have to say?
Yeah, so Adam was just, you know, mostly happy about how the game went. The fact that this team has kind of fought and scraped through a tough game. And, you know, he was proud of them pulling out another one score victory here. I know the Jets are 4-1 in one score games this season, so he was pleased with that. He had a lot of nice things to say about Marcus May. You know, he singled out those two plays that we did and was raving about his performance. And then obviously Le'Veon Bell and his, you know, connection to the Steelers came up as well. So, you know, he was happy for Le'Veon Bell to get this victory. Same for Hines Ward, obviously on the Jets coaching staff. You know, he got a little Gatorade bath from Robbie Anderson, I think it was, after the game, dumping the cooler on him. So Hines Ward was fired up to get this win. So Adam Gase was kind of tipping his hat to those guys and, you know, was fired up for them to kind of get this victory. But other than that, you know, a relatively uneventful press conference from Adam Gase, no injury updates from him really to speak of. So Jets seem to have made it out of this one pretty healthy too. So we'll find out a little bit more about that on Monday on the conference call, see if there's any follow-up injuries that we didn't get to today. But on the whole, just a relatively upbeat Adam Gase, happy to get that sixth win of the season, kind of do it against a team that obviously was in playoff contention, had something to play for, where as the Jets, you know, they obviously don't have anything to play for at this time of year. So to knock off a team that's desperate seemed to make him a little bit happy as well, just to, you know, he wasn't willing to say that it was kind of extra validation for them, but obviously from the outside looking in, you can kind of tell that, you know, winning this game versus some other wins that the Jets racked up this season, you know, this one probably should mean a little bit more if you're the Jets. So I think Gase kind of knows that, and he just didn't want to hint at it, but that was kind of the lay of the land from his press conference there.
What'd the players have to say?
Yeah, so I mentioned Jordan Jenkins obviously admitting that he was nervous about that ball in the air that Marcus May came over and broke up. But beyond that, he kind of realized during his talk with some of the reporters that, you know, in his four seasons with the Jets now, this is his winningest year, which might make some Jets fans kind of shake their head in dismay. The fact that six wins is kind of, you know, the best year in this span. But, you know, for Jordan Jenkins, he was kind of pleased to realize that this has been, at least record-wise, the best year for him in Florham Park in New York. And, you know, I asked him, given how much bad has kind of seemed to happen this year, how many injuries and, you know, bad losses and disappointing moments and strange drama, if it feels weird to him that this has been the most successful on paper season he's had here. And he kind of said, he's like, yeah, I mean, this has been the kind of season where, you know, anything that can go wrong seemingly has, but for this team to kind of fight through it and get to this point, he was pretty proud of that fact. So, you know, Jordan Jenkins had that to say, but Jamal Adams kind of put a different spin on it and basically said that if you don't make the playoffs, it doesn't matter and everything else is irrelevant. So, you know, kind of what you expect from Jamal Adams, you know, pretty blunt, black and white approach from him. So, you know, Jamal taking the black and white approach, like I said, Jordan Jenkins, a little bit more shades of gray there. I don't think Jordan Jenkins was saying by any stretch that he's ecstatic and, you know, content with six wins here, but it certainly sounded like he at least saw some signs of progress in the fact that the Jets have, you know, at least upped their win tally from when he's been there. So that's what they had to say. Le'Veon Bell kind of admitted to, you know, having this win mean a little bit extra for him, you know, being a little extra juiced up for this one. Not that he was playing any harder, trying any harder, but just that there was a little extra meaning on the line for him playing against the Steelers. And, you know, I had to ask him, obviously, about his wardrobe choice for the game today, wearing a gold sweater and black pants into the stadium today, kind of riled some people up before the game. So certainly seemed interesting from the outside looking in, and take this for what it's worth, you know, choose to believe Le'Veon or not. But he said that he wasn't trying to be petty or, you know, cause too much of a real stir. He just figured that if he wore black and gold, he would, you know, get some people's attention and raise some eyebrows. And, you know, if that was his only stated goal, I would say that he certainly accomplished his mission, because Twitter was blowing up around 11 a.m. this morning while I was trying to get through stadium traffic. So thanks to Le'Veon for giving me a scare when I wasn't able to access my laptop. Appreciate that one. And, you know, other than that, pretty quiet day in the locker room. Marcus May did speak, but unfortunately I didn't get a chance to listen in on what he had to say. But, you know, mostly just happy faces around the Jets locker room. So always nice when guys are upbeat for once in a challenging season. So some happy players, guys glad to get the win, six wins. They seem pretty fired up, you know, just to get another one and do it against a team that is in the heat of things. That was a persistent theme with all of these guys, just beating a team that's in the playoff mix. Maybe, you know, not that they were focused on playing spoiler or anything like that, but they know that they'd beat a team that had something on the line. And at this time of the year, if you have something on the line, you're probably a pretty good team. So the Jets felt like they kind of accomplished something.
Matt kind of buried the lead here, and I'm surprised at myself for not mentioning this at the beginning, but this was more or less like a Steelers home game, wasn't it?
Yeah. A lot of terrible towels in MetLife Stadium on Sunday, for sure. My photographer from NJ.com actually sent me an email right around kickoff. It said, Jesus, were they handing out terrible towels at the gate today? Because I guess he was a little bit caught off guard by how many Steelers fans were in attendance. But I know, you know, we were obviously kind of expecting a lot of Steelers fans there. But, yeah, they were there. They were loud for sure. But the Jets, for what it's worth, it really didn't bother them that much. And they actually started off the game in the silent count, but then actually went back to a normal snap count after that, because they said they could hear just fine. So it wasn't, I guess, as bad as they were expecting, or at least it was, you know, better than the worst case scenario that they had kind of prepared for during the week. So didn't seem to affect them too much. But yeah, I mean, unmistakable if you were sitting in the building, or I'm sure watching at home as well. Just a lot of Steelers fans in New Jersey today.
Any other news or notes that we missed?
No, I think that about covers it, Scott.
In that case, got to ask you an important question, Matt. Are you ready for Christmas?
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, get a couple of days kind of off. That sounds pretty nice. Go hang out with the family a little bit. So should be nice. Can't complain. And, you know, wrapping up the season here one last week, you squeeze Christmas in. It's kind of weird that the last week of the season gets broken up as much as it does by the holiday, but, you know, I'm not going to complain.
It's weird that it's sort of deja vu from 2015 where the Jets are going to end the season in Buffalo. Of course, this time there are zero stakes on the line because the Bills already clinched the 5 seed for the playoffs. The Jets can't go to the playoffs, so this isn't like 2015 where the Jets had a playoff berth on the line. But if you want to go and see that game where Matt will be covering it live from the press box, you can't do that, but you can get yourself a ticket over on the Vivid Seats mobile app. Download it right now. Use the promo code OVERTIME, and you'll get yourself up to $100 off on your very first purchase. You could go to that Bills-Jets game in Buffalo, or if you want, you can go to something else, maybe a concert, a wrestling match, a boxing match, a basketball game, a hockey game. Whatever it is you want to do, you can do it when you download the Vivid Seats mobile app and enter the promo code OVERTIME. You'll get yourself $100 off on your very first ticket purchase. Matt, thanks so much for joining me. Really appreciate it. Looking forward to talking to you next week. It'll be the finale between the Jets and the Buffalo Bills. Until then, I hope that you have yourself a very Merry Christmas, and I know that you've got a lot of material up right now at nj.com/Jets. Plenty of people are going to be looking to read about the Jets over the Christmas break because they're going to want to escape from their families for a little bit, get a little peace and quiet. So they'll sit down, they'll read a little Matt Stiplikowski at nj.com, and when they do, what do they have in store for them?
Yeah, sure thing. So off of this game, just had a quick look at some of the best and worst performers from this one. Went out at the gun there when the game ended, but we'll have some bigger picture look stuff on Monday morning, just kind of taking this game and the last handful of games here and kind of putting them in perspective. And Jets fans should be optimistic about this team going forward, but also some reasons why maybe they should have some concern as well. So kind of breaking down some of the themes around this team right now in the big picture sense, and also dive a little bit deeper into what Jordan Jenkins and Jamal Adams kind of had to say about the fact that this is statistically, or, you know, at least in terms of the box score, the standings, the best season that they've had with the Jets, kind of their take on that. So that'll be up Monday morning. And then throughout the week, going to have plenty more stuff, of course, going up. That'll be kind of look ahead stuff to 2020, look ahead to the off season stuff. Cause you know, no offense, but I don't think people want to read all that much specifically about the matchups between the Jets and the Bills for a meaningless week 17 game. So I'll probably be spinning it forward a little bit on that one. You know, speaking of that game in Buffalo next week, if everyone could just, you know, say a little prayer for me if you're the praying kind, or, you know, just spare a thought for me. I got a 7 a.m. flight out of Buffalo on Monday morning after that game, and I got to pray that there's no snow or anything up at the lakes up there, because got to get back to Florham Park Monday morning for the Jets cleaning out their locker room. So if there's snow in the forecast, I got to drive home Sunday night and rent a car instead. So I'd really prefer to drive, or prefer to fly instead of drive. So if you guys could all, you know, do a little anti-snow dance or something like that, I would appreciate it, because I really don't want to drive overnight from Buffalo back to New Jersey. That sounds terrible.
Let's just hope that on the 12th day of Christmas, Santa gives Matt an easy flight back from Buffalo to Florham Park, because the last thing that we want Matt to have to do to end the year would be a long 8-hour drive from Buffalo, especially since it's possible, being Buffalo and all, that it would be a drive in the snow. And we definitely don't want that to happen. So say a little bit of a Christmas prayer for Matt, if you could, and make sure you read his work over at nj.com/Jets. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts, you know where to go. That's Turn on the Jets Digital and turnonthejets.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry,
sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.